Greetings in the wonderful, majestic name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us again for another exciting service. This is our New Year's Eve service. We are moving over to 2023. We thank God for His mercies that are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God has been so good to us in 2022. 2022 was the year of divine elevation, Isaiah 40 and verse 31. God has been good to us. Have we experienced divine elevation? Most certainly we have. God has elevated us. God has taken us from one place to another place. God has granted us the grace and the mercy to launch out into the deep and to trust Him, to walk on the water when He said, come. And this year, we have seen the fulfillment of the Word of God. We know that the Bible says, God is not a man that He should lie, neither is He the Son of Man that He should repent. If He said it, will He not do it? To this year, we have seen God's hand. We have seen the grace of God. We have seen the mercy of the Lord. We have seen every word that God gave us, every rhema word, we have seen it come to pass. We have seen testimonies. We have seen the hand of God. We have seen the power of God. We have seen the demonstration of God. We want to thank God for 2022. It has been truly an amazing year. When I look back, I can look back and say thank you. Thank you for everything that you have done. Thank you for your mercies and your grace. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your faithfulness. I can say, as they said in the book of Samuel, Ebenezer, up until thus far, you have brought us. And today we thank God that as we are exiting 2022 and moving into 2023, we are excited for what the Lord is about to do. We're excited for what God is about to bring to pass in our lives. We believe that 2023 is the year of recovery. It's the year of recovery. We are so excited for what God is about to do, because God is about to do great and mighty things. We thank God for His mercy and for His grace. I thank God for His loving kindness and His faithfulness. And today, as we're going to look at the word, recover all, we're going to look at the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 18 is our key scripture for 2023. But we're going to look at this particular chapter. We're going to study the life of how David recovered all. And I believe that this is God's will for each and every one of us, that we should recover all. And I thank God that this is the season of recovery. We're going to recover what the enemy has stolen, what the devil has taken from us. This is the season where God is going to bring us in to divine recovery. I'm so excited because when I received this word while being on a holiday, while being on a specific trip, the Lord made this word basically exploded in my spirit. And I knew that this was the word for 2023. And while just thinking about it and meditating about it and releasing it to the leaders, we already began to see God manifesting His word. Now we thank God for His goodness and His mercy. I would like to thank God for my wife, my children, my family that has walked with me, that has stood by my side, that has been with me on this amazing journey. We thank God that we know that this is our season of recovery. And we thank God that we're going to come back stronger than what we were before. And so today, as we're going to dig into this particular word, I believe that it's a word for the church, a word for us, a word for us as a church particularly, a word for Kingdom Revival Ministries. Recover all. We thank God that this is our season of recovery in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at some definitions of the word recovery. The action or process of regaining possession or control of something stolen or lost. Hallelujah. When we look at the words like retrieval, regaining, repossession, recapture, reclamation, recouping, retaking, redemption, recuperation. These are words that comes when we speak about taking back. Hallelujah. When we look at another meaning, When we look at another meaning of recovery, is to return to a normal state of health, mind, or strength. When we look at words like healing, rehabilitation, revival, comeback, renewal, these are all words that we speak about when we look at the word recovery. And I'm so excited today that we are going to come into that place of divine recovery. I thank God for His mercy and for His grace. For up until thus far, He has been faithful. Now we're going to turn to our Bibles, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're going to read some verses throughout this chapter. We cannot read the whole chapter for time's sake, but we're going to look at a few verses, and then we're going to break it down into five simple steps of recovery. I thank God today for His word and for His revelation. I believe that it will transform our lives. And in 2023, we're going to recover all that the enemy has stolen from us. We're going to recover all that the devil thought that he had control over, because God is with us. I thank God today. Hallelujah. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had been had made a raid on the Negev, and on Ziklag, and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire, and they took captive the woman and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. Verse 4, then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam and the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Verse 8, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this man? Shall I overtake them? And he said to him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. And we look further at verses 18, which is our scripture, 18 and 19. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken and rescued his two wives. But nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that they had taken for themselves. For David brought it all back. So David had captured all the sheep, the cattle, which the people drove ahead of the other livestock. And they said, this is David's spoil. We read that, and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reading of that word in Jesus' mighty name. Let the Holy Spirit empower me and fill my mouth with the word of God. Bless each and every person that will hear thy word. Let thy word bring transformation, restoration, rehabilitation. And Father, I thank you today, Father, that the power of thy word will demolish every stronghold that we have been taken captive, that our minds has been taken captive. Liberate us today. Bring our thoughts to the obedience of Christ. We ask this, I ask this in the mighty and majestic name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen. Now, as we look at this particular portion of scripture, we're going to look first at Ziklag. Now, Ziklag was a city in existence in 10 to 12 BC. At this point in time, David was 29 years old. Now, David has already been anointed as king, but David was not yet reigning on the throne. This point in time, David's father-in-law, Saul, was hot on the heels of David. He wanted to destroy David. He wanted to kill David. He was jealous of David. Remember when we read earlier on the book of Samuel, the Bible says when they came back from war, the woman started singing songs. Saul kills his thousands, David his 10,000s. Saul became jealous because of David, and Saul wanted to kill David. There was a jealousy so hot in Saul that Saul wanted to take out David. Saul is the type of the enemy. When the Lord's favor and grace is upon your life, Satan will do anything to destroy your life. Satan will do anything to mesmerize you. Satan will do anything to take you out. When God's favor is upon you, the devil will not rest until the devil can destroy you. I want you to know that, child of God. Here is a typical example like David, a man that was favored by God. The Bible says David was a man after the heart of God. David was a man that knew God in his worship, in his time that he spent with God. He built a really close-knit relationship with God. David loved the Lord with all his heart. And yet David, because of the love of God that he had for God, and because he was a man favored of God, and because he was a man that had the mark of God upon him, when Saul Samuel anointed him, David then was, the Bible says, from that day, the Spirit of the Lord was upon David. David was now empowered. David now carried the unction to function. And because of this, the enemy came after David's life. We know that in our own personal lives, there is a devil. And this devil has been coming after our lives. This devil has been out to destroy us. This devil has been out to mess with us. He has tried everything. He has turned people against you. He has named you. Named, he shamed you. He has done everything to try to break you and to destroy you. You are Saul, the jealousy of a leader against David. And he wanted to annihilate David. Take David out. How many times do you face this, where people try to tarnish you, try to destroy you, try to mesmerize you? People are on attack against your life. The enemy works in the lives of people to come after you, to try to destroy you, to demotivate you, to try to discourage you. And we see that this is typically the life of every child of God. Saul was in such a way or such a place of hatred towards David that Saul even sent assassins to assassinate David, hitmen on David. But God's hand was with David. I know this, that when God's hand is on you, even though the enemy will try to take you out, even though there is destiny assassins, yet God will be with you. Yet God will keep you in the palm of his hand. For the Bible says that no man can snatch us from the hand of God. The Bible says that if God be for us, who can be against us? And that is what David was. David was a man of great faith in God. David trusted God. But at this point in time, David, in this particular context and of scripture that we can explain, David now ran away. Without consulting God, David went and made a pact with the Philistines and stayed with the Philistines for 1 year and 4 months. But I just want to get into the story, because in this particular aspect, we understand that David was out of line. And because he was out of line, the enemy had basically access to David's life. Many times we are children of God, we miss God. Many times we find ourselves missing God in certain decisions, things that we do, and we lose out. And we find ourselves in a place where Satan comes and steals from us. Satan comes and destroys and plunders. But I've got a message of hope for you, that it doesn't matter what the devil has stolen, you will recover, or God will replace. That is what we're going to look at today in the mighty and majestic name of Jesus. So when David is on a run right now, David now meets discontented men, men that are in distress. And David takes these, I think at this point, David met about 450 men or 400 men. He takes these men, and David now doesn't allow his situation to bring him to such discouragement that David now, just stagnates in life. Now, many of us, when we find ourselves in this situation where life has turned against us, we stagnate. But David finds these 400 odd men in distress. But the Bible teaches us that David takes these losers and David makes winners out of these particular men. He makes winners out of these men. The Bible calls them men that are discontent, men that are in distress. But later in the book of Chronicles, the Bible refers to them as mighty men. I'm telling you, God has a great work that he's going to do in and through your life. You might be in a place right now where you find yourself in distress, discontented. But this year, 2023, God is going to raise you to be a mighty man. You need to get ready to position yourself for the great things that God is about to do in and through your life. Ziklag is a place every one of us as children of God will face at some time or another in our lives. Ziklag is that place where each and every one of us will encounter. Ziklag is that place where we will encounter, as I said, one or another time in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Ziklag is that place, or that in-between place. We must remember that Ziklag is not Bethlehem. Bethlehem was known as the place of beginnings. Ziklag is not Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the place of destiny. Ziklag is the in-between place. Ziklag is the uneventful place. It's the place of waiting. The place where you hardly can testify. You hardly have something that you can say. Because life has hit you. Life has knocked you. The devil has come against you. He has given you a beating. It's in that place where not much things are happening really and truly in your life. It's that place where you know you're not really you're not really in that place where you can say that, you know, I feel like I'm where God wants me to be. I feel like I want to be where God has set me to be. And so you're in this place of Ziklag, and it's in this place of waiting. It's this place where you are being developed, the place where God is processing you and getting you ready for the throne. And this is where David was in the process. In 1999, I remember standing with a group of friends, and I said to a specific person that was with me, I said to them, one day I want to write a book called The Process. Never understanding that God would take me through 23 years of process. Never understanding that God would take me through the process in which I find myself today. Not knowing that I was prophesying that I will be going through a process. And Ziklag is that place of process where God is getting you ready for your great moment. Every child of God has to go through a season of waiting. Every child of God goes through a season, a process in life. Joseph went from rejection to the pit, from the pit to a slave, from the slave to the prison, and from the prison he went to the palace. David went from the sheepfold, or the sheepfold, then David went to the place of being on the run, and then David ascended the throne. Many went through different processes before they came to the place where God has ordained for their lives. The season of waiting is the season of stretching, is the season of development, is the season of preparation. Sometimes we don't understand the season. We can't understand the rejection. We can't understand the trials. We can't understand the losses. We can't understand the difficulties. We can't understand why we have to go through this, why we have to face these moments. It's a time where in our lives, the prophetic destiny that we have does not make at times sense in this season for what God has called us for. The pictures do not match up. We cannot understand why God is taking us through the process, why we are going through the Ziklag, why we are going through the place in which we find ourselves. Hallelujah. Every one of us is called to this place. David lived in this place, as I said, for 1 year and 4 months. Hallelujah. Now we see that David and his men were on their way to a battle. But on the battlefield, they were told to go back home. They have just gone on. When we read from 1 Samuel chapter 27, we see that David and his men, how they went out and they destroyed and they did many things. And now they came back home from a battle. They came home and they were now ready to go and spend some time, quality time with their families. But when they came back home, Ziklag was up in smoke. The place in which they came for comfort, the place in which they found their joy, the place in which they were excited to come home to, because they would find their children running to come and hug their daddies that had just come from war, the wives that would be preparing the husband's best meals, and they were so excited now to be home. But as they came from a distance, they saw the smoke in Ziklag. Everything that they built over that period of time was burned down. Their money, their investments, their resources was burned down. Have you faced a time in your life that what you build, you find up in ashes? Have you faced a time in life, what you have invested in, you just lost it all? Have you come to a time in your life when everything that you have put into something, you come and you find it up in smoke? You find you standing on the ashes of something that you tried to build. You're standing on the ashes of that marriage you tried to build. You're standing on the ashes of that child that you tried to raise as a godly child. You try to raise godly children, but today you're standing on the ashes of a drug addict. You're standing on the ashes of divorce. You are standing on the ashes of bankruptcy. You are standing on the ashes of life. And you can't make sense because the prophetic word does not match the process. But I'm telling you, you're on your way to greatness. All that you need to do is don't quit now. God is about to come through for you. God is about to come through for you. God is about to do great things in your life. God is about to turn your life around. God is about to do mighty exploits. For even though the thief has come in to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but I'm here to let you know, child of God, that God has come to give you life. And has come to give you life in abundance. God is getting ready to do great things in your life. You're saying, man of God, how can you say this? I'm standing on the ashes of my Ziklag. I cannot see myself rebuilding my life. I cannot see myself getting back my investments, getting back what has been stolen from me. But I'm here with good news today that if God did it for David, God is going to do it for me and for you. God is going to bring us through this difficult time of trial and hardship. God is going to lift us up and God is going to strengthen us and empower us. The Ziklag that we have faced in our lives has been a moment, oh God, that we have just passed through. It's been a moment that has been an in-between. We're not going to stay here, but we are on the move. Somebody needs to get ready for what God is about to do. I'm going to look at the life of David today, and we're going to take out some practical steps to victory. Hallelujah. When we are faced with this moment in our lives called Ziklag, or the season in our lives when we're facing our Ziklag. The first thing that David did was, the Bible says David wept. He wept until he could not weep no more. David wept for his family. David wept for the city. These mighty warriors that were men of war, men of battle, men that were unafraid. These men that went into battle with David, destroyed cities and cut off men's heads and did many, many great exploits. Were now men that came back to a city burned down. And this mighty man began to weep. The Bible says they kept weeping until they could not weep anymore. These strong men and broke down and wept, and they could not weep anymore. Hallelujah. This is what we do when the worst day, when we face the worst day of our lives. Having faith, many has been said that at times when people of faith speak, that people of faith don't cry, or people of faith don't break, or people of faith don't go through a time of distress. Yes, we have faith in God, but I'm telling you, as even as a man of faith, you will cry. Even as a man of faith, you will weep. For the Bible says that Abraham wept when he stood at the tomb of Sarah, his wife. The Bible says Joseph wept when he was reunited with his family. The Bible says Hezekiah wept when he was told he was about to die and to get his house in order. The Bible says the great apostle Paul said, I serve the Lord with many tears. The Bible says Jesus wept when he stood at the tomb of Lazarus. Hallelujah. There is a time when we will weep, but there's one thing when the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to weep. Yes, there's a time to weep in the child of God's life. There's a time when you will cry. There's a time when you will break down. But the Bible says in Psalms 30 and verse 5, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy is coming, don't give up now. Joy is coming, don't turn back now. There's a season of joy coming after a season of weeping. Don't turn back now. Hallelujah. Do not let the devil break you till you cannot get back up again. Yes, you have the right to cry, but do not stay there in that place. Hallelujah. You can enter into a time of weeping, but don't let your weeping turn out to unbelief and self-pity. Hallelujah. The Bible says God got angry in the book of Numbers 27 when the people started weeping, when they decided that now they wanted to return back to Egypt. Their unbelief, their weeping brought about unbelief. Our weeping must not bring us into a place of unbelief or self-pity. Hallelujah. That's not the weeping. We must not have the weeping that brings about sorrow and unbelief. The Bible says in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 5, David was in the valley of Rephaim, if I'm saying it correctly. And this valley means the valley of giants. He was in the valley of big trouble. But David got under a weeping tree. And this tree was called Bachan. The tree is called Bachan, which is a weeping tree. And he's under the weeping tree. Hallelujah. He was faced with great problems. Then the word of the Lord came to him and said, hear the sound of wrestling above the weeping trees. And when you hear the sound, advance quickly, for the Lord has gone before you to give you the victory. Oh, in the time of weeping, God has a sound. In the time of weeping, God wants to speak. Hallelujah. David, there's a sound above your weeping. There's a sound when you're on your lowest point. Hallelujah. When you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, he will not leave you in the valley of weeping. God will not allow. God will allow you to recover all. And if you have recovered it, God will, if you cannot recover it, God will replace it with something better. I'm here to say to somebody, something better is coming your way. There are some things we cannot get back because it's like the ashes of Ziklag. But God is about to give you something better. God is about to give you beautiful ashes. I'm prophesying to somebody today to get ready for something better. Hallelujah. Some better things in 2023. Better relationships, better connections, better business deals, a better job. Better. God is going to give you better. Your marriage is going to be better. Your children are going to be changed. Glory be to God. There are better things coming your way. There will be a season of joy. Get ready and begin to rejoice again, for God will take you. Hallelujah. God will take what the enemy has meant to destroy you, and he will give you the victory, and God will get the glory. You will never receive a miracle when you are feeling sorry for yourself, child of God. At some point, come out of the pit of unbelief and self-pity and believe that joy is coming back. That joy is coming back. Joy is coming back to your marriage. Joy is coming back to your household. Joy is coming back to your family. Joy is coming back to your business. Joy is coming back to your ministry. Joy is coming back. Hallelujah. Don't let grief conquer you. We are not taking residence in the place of grief. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 84 and verses 6, the Bible says that we are passing through the valley of Baca, not taking residence in it. Residence in the place of Baca. We are passing through the valley of weeping. We are passing through the valley of weeping. Hallelujah. We are not here to take residence in it. When we are going through trials, we must be careful of the questions that we ask ourselves. We find four lepers that ask the right questions. Sometimes when we are in troubles, we begin to ask the wrong questions. Why did this happen to me? I didn't deserve this. But these lepers ask the right questions in the middle of their tragedy. It happened. Hallelujah. There's nothing we can do. When you're faced with the Ziklag moment, there's nothing you can do after the tragedy. It has happened. Things has happened. Life has happened. But you need to understand, hallelujah, are you going to be like the lepers that said, will we sit here till we die? die, or will we get up and go? Are you going to sit there till you die, or are you going to get up and go? Are you going to sit there in depression? Are you going to sit there in your anxiety? Are you going to sit there? It's time to shake it off. It's time to get up. Hallelujah. It's time to shake off that trauma and begin to do what David did. David inquired of the Lord and he went into battle. He inquired of the Lord. He wept, and then he heard the voice of God and he went where God wanted him to be. The second thing that the Bible teaches us is that we must refuse to get bitter. We must not become bitter, but we must become better. The man began to blame David. Now, David helped this man greatly. David was a great encourager and motivator to this particular man. But this man began to blame David. The human nature is always the type that makes us blame somebody for our circumstances. When we blame people, when we try to find the blame game, when we start playing the blame game, we must not get into the blame game. What we need to do is align ourselves with the word of God. Because if we don't, we won't become better, but we're going to become bitter. And we're going to start blaming people. And we're going to start becoming even bitter to a point where we become bitter towards God. And this is what the Bible refers to in Hebrews 12 verses 14, 15. The Bible says, don't let the root of bitterness cause trouble in you. Don't let the root of bitterness cause trouble in your health, trouble in your relationships. When a root of bitterness, when we carry bitterness or unforgiveness in our lives, it will come to the place where it will destroy us. Child of God, stop rehearsing the bad moments of life, because this can lead to offenses. Rather come to a place where you reverse those moments, where it comes to a place where you come into forgiveness. Hallelujah. Because if you don't get rid of the root of bitterness, it will defile you. Hallelujah. We need to understand, according to Luke 17, that offenses will come. Bad things will happen. But don't allow it to stick. Hallelujah. Don't allow it to stick. The Bible says to us that when we go through these times in our lives, we must clothe ourselves with a new clothing. Hallelujah. We must put on new clothing. We must not get on. We must take off the old and put on the new. We must get ourselves aligned with God. We must get ourselves aligned with the purposes of God. We must get ourselves aligned with the things of God. Listen to what it says. In Colossians 3 verses 13, bearing one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, also you should forgive. That is what the Bible says. We should forgive. We should walk free. Father, today as you listen to this, just release people. Just let them go. Don't hold on to them. Don't hold on to the offenses. Don't hold on to the heartache. Don't hold on to the bitterness. Don't hold on to the resentment. Let's look at Matthew 6 verses 15. The Bible says, but if you don't forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So we must walk in forgiveness. We must walk in forgiveness. Hallelujah. How do we get beyond bitterness? When we look at the book of Exodus 15, we see that Israel found some bitter waters and God gave Moses an instruction. Hallelujah. God told Moses, you see the tree, take a branch or a twig from the tree, a stick from the tree, and put it in the bitter waters. The Bible teaches us how to turn bitter waters into sweetness. In the book of Proverbs 15 verses 4, my wife and I started this process for some time now, where we started to declare, we started to speak the word of God again over our lives, over our marriage, over our situation, over our circumstances. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 15 verses 4, a soothing tongue, speaking words that build up and encourage, from the Amplified Translation, is a tree of life. But a perversive tongue, speaking words that overwhelm and depress, crushes the spirit. I choose to speak life. I choose to speak life, because our tree is our words, and we must speak right. The man shall live from the good of the fruit of his lips. It's time for us to change our speech. It's time for us to change our words. It's time to speak life over that marriage. It's time to speak life over your children. It's time to speak healing and not criticism. Use our tongues to speak the word of God and stop cursing. If our marriage is bitter, we can speak life over it. and God will make it better. Your tongue can be the healing force that can change your life if you just begin to speak the word of God. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs. A spring speaks about waters, the issues of life. So we need to guard our hearts, and we need to be careful what we put into our hearts, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Get the word in thy mouth, get the word in thy heart, so that you will speak the word of God. Declare the word of God. We're going to prophesy at the end of this. We're going to declare, and we're going to speak the word of God over your life, over your children. We're going to take back what the enemy has stolen. We're going to recover all in the name of Jesus. Somebody needs to say amen. The third point is, the Bible says, encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. This is what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He is not encouraged by circumstances, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. Things did not change, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. There was still smoke at Ziklag. But David took this moment, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. What do we do when tragedy hits our life? When the doctor's report has come back negative? When they're about to repossess your car, your house? When your children are on drugs? When your child is just about to go to prison? What do you do when everything is down? Now it's your time to refocus. Now it's your time to focus on the Lord. Give God tunnel vision. You begin to magnify Lord in this situation. You look at how faithful, how good, how great God is. The Bible says in Acts 26 verse 2, Paul says, I think myself happy. My situation and circumstances might want me to be depressed, but Paul says, I think myself happy. Another translation says, I command my emotional state to be one of joy and happiness. My circumstances wants to depress me, but I'm commanding that I will be joyful, that I will have a different outlook, that I will have a different mindset. I choose the joy of the Lord as a dominant emotion. Not going to lie down in depression and going to give up everything. Hallelujah. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. Somebody needs to say, depression, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody needs to shout, depression will not dominate me. Fear will not dominate me. Worry will not dominate me. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm going to enlarge the promises of God in my life. I'm going to pray in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray, the Bible says, and they prayed in the Spirit. And those who could hear and interpret, because they spoke in their tongues, they spoke in their languages, they heard them magnifying the Lord. It's time for us to magnify the promises of God. It's time for us to blow it up and to watch what God is about to do. It's time for us to get down and worship God. It's time for us to magnify God and to tell our problems, our big our God is, and not to tell our God how big our problems is. Somebody needs to arise in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says, when David encouraged himself in the Lord, David then got a word from the Lord. He inquired of the Lord, and God gave him a word. Now, David didn't inquire for the Lord for some season, and this led to David's demise. This led to David's destruction, because David did not allow the word of God or the voice of God to lead his life. We need to know and understand that if God does not lead us, we will go into destruction, because there's a path that seemeth right unto the man, but the end leads to death. David thought hiding with the Philistines was the right path, but this was the end result. We need to find the way that God has set for us. We need to listen and tune into the voice of God. And when David in this moment began to now come back to the place, because he repented now, so he could hear the voice of God, because the sin was removed. Hallelujah. The Bible says his hand is not too short to reach us, stretch out and help us. But sin has formed this wall between us and God. But when we repent, that wall comes down, and God can now stretch out and rescue us. And the Bible says, when David inquired of the Lord, he got a word that gave him the vision on the inside about the victory that was about to come. You see, in the Bible we have the Logos, which is from Genesis to Revelation, and then we have the Rhema word. The Rhema word. David at this moment got a Rhema word, a now word. It's a word of life. In the middle of the mess, he got a word that changed his life. Now, a rhema word is a specific word for a specific person, for a specific situation, and you get a word like that. It's time to stand up now and begin to move, for now you're going to recover all. When you get this word, it's time for you to get up. Overtake and pursue all, David, for you will surely recover all. This word, this is the vision of God for your life. This is the word that God gives you vision. Hallelujah. Job 39 verse 29, the Bible speaks about an eagle. And we need to become eagle-eyed, because an eagle can see where they are and where they are going. And we need to come into the place where we have eagle vision, where we can begin to see where God wants us to see, where we can begin to soar where God wants us to soar. We need to not be in the level with the chickens, because chickens cannot see like eagles. And because chickens are chickens, they will just see the mess that they find themselves in. But we are like eagles. Hallelujah. And we need to get the God kind of vision and begin to see what God wants us to see. Hallelujah. Several times in scripture, God asked people, what do you see? About seven times in the Bible. Because even if I preach this word with revelation, insight, and excitement, I can preach myself blue or purple. And if you don't see it, you will never experience it. If you don't see it, it will never change your attitude. If you don't see it, your praise won't change, because you will always moan and groan. But once you see it, I tell you, I can see this. David was weeping, and suddenly when he received this word, this rhema word that exploded him in a vision of victory, because that is what the rhema word does. When you receive a now word from God, suddenly there's something that comes alive in you, and you are ready now to go and do what God wants you to do. I tell you, every time God has a word for you, God has a word for your circumstances, God has a word for what you are facing, it's time for you to right now get connected to God. This is the word for this season, for the church and for the body, I believe, is to recover. And God is saying recover and get ready. This is a word that should explode in you, and you should get ready to recover in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We need to understand that this word will change our lives. Change our lives. Fear is a dark room where you develop your negatives, but faith is a room where you develop the positives. Hallelujah. You develop God's positives in the faith room. And this is the place where God begins to show you. And this is a place where you begin to break out, to break through. Somebody needs to get ready. Hallelujah. You ain't seen nothing yet. When you get the word and it settles in your heart, then things will begin to shift. Hallelujah. The question is, what do you see? Do you see victory? Do you see recovery? Do you see breakthrough? Do you see God replacing things? We said God is going to do better. Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see it? Somebody say to somebody, do you see it? Because if you see it, you're going to have it. Can you see in 2023, you're going to recover? Can you see in 2023, God is going to replace? Can you see it? Let's look at Genesis 13 verses 14 and 15. The Bible says, the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and your descendants forever. Somebody lift up your eyes. Somebody lift up your eyes from Ziklag. Lift up your eyes from the ashes of life. Lift up your eyes from those circumstances. Lift up your eyes from that discouragement. Lift up your eyes from that moments when the enemy tried to destroy you. Lift up your eyes like Abraham and begin to look in the north, the south, the east, and the west. Somebody, I'm telling you, when this word came into my heart, this word exploded within me. Now lift up your eyes and look at the place where you are. This is where you are, but look at the north, the south, the east, and the west. For all the land that you can see, I will give it. If you can see, look at those new connections. Look at those new people that are coming into your life. Look at your son and your daughters getting saved. Look at your marriage being the dream marriage, being the fairy tale marriage that you so desire. Look at your household being transformed. Can you see? Look at what God is about to do for you. Look at the new people that are coming and accessing your life. Your world was limited and confined to your situation, to a Ziklag. But lift up your eyes, for God is about to explode your vision within you. Hallelujah. Do not confine to where you are, but lift up your eyes. Declare today, I won't be in this depression for no more. I won't be in this limitation for no more. How far I could see, I see no more. The north, the south, the east, and the west. Somebody needs to look and see what God is saying. I will give it to you. Hallelujah. You will not end or stay in this place anymore. But God is giving you the vision of victory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The fifth and final point, and we conclude with this. The Bible says, and David got mad at the devil. And that is what we need to do, is get mad at the devil. He got mad at the enemy. We must get mad at the devil. His soldiers got mad at him, but David got mad at the enemy. For he knew that his wrestle was not against flesh and blood. You were not fighting flesh and blood. You were fighting the devil that has been after your assignment. They took David down behind them. David was eavesdropping on the enemy. And then David saw them eating and drinking and celebrating. And David must have seen them touching his wife or maybe mishandling his children. And something infuriated David. And David became so angry that David just went into the battlefield. And we look at what the Bible says, that David went up into the enemy's camp. He went up. Come on, somebody. Listen to what the Bible says in verses 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread all over, eating and drinking and dancing because of the great spoil that they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. David slaughtered them, because David was a man of war. David was a man of war. David could not stand to see that what this dirty devil was doing. And stand that you don't become angry at the people, but become angry with the devil. Begin to put on your weapons of warfare. Begin to arm yourself and begin to pray, to fast and to fight. We're going to get up in this 21 days of fasting and praying. We're going to believe God in the next 21 days. We're going to see the power of God. We're going to go back and we're going to recover all that God has for us. Hallelujah. David did no longer see himself as the victim, but as the victor. Hallelujah. David said, I'm not going to sit back and just allow the enemy to do this. Shall we sit here till we die, or shall we get up and go? The Bible says he rose up and went and took back what the devil stole. You're not just going to get things by sitting down. It's time for you to get up. It's time for you to anoint that children, because greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. God is going to give it to you. If God is for you, who can be against you? You are more than an overcomer, more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Get mad at the devil and begin to take back your possession. Get mad and begin to go on your knees and begin to pray. Begin to pray and groan and pray and groan and intercede like you've never done before. Begin to fast and pray and read your Bible like you've never done before, until the word of God becomes life to you again. Begin to seek God like you've never sought him before. Begin to believe God like you've never believed him before. It's time that we need to realize that this devil has come to kill, steal, and to destroy. But God has come to give us life. And we can have life, and we can have it in abundance. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us, one thing that the Bible teaches us is that how God's anger is towards the devil and his demons because of what they have done to the children of God. That the Bible says God even made, let's read it. I want to read this particular scripture because it's so amazing. I want to read this in the book of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Listen to this. The Bible says God hates the devil and his demons so much that God even created a place for them because of what they have done to his children. Listen to this. Matthew 25 verse 41. The Bible says, and then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. God is so mad at the devil that he even prepared a place for them. Yes, you might be going through a hell on earth, but I'm telling you, there's a yell in it. The devil is going to go through for eternity. I want you, child of God, to not give up now. Even though David was greatly grieved. Hallelujah. But the Bible says David attacked and he took the spoils. And the Bible says that David recovered all. Listen to this, verse 18, I love this. And so David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken, and he rescued his wife. I prophesy, this will be your story. I declare, this will be your story. You have gone through your Ziklag. You have gone through your trauma. You have gone through your circumstances. But it's time for you to not sit there and die, but to get up and go. For God is going to give you the victory. The devil is a liar. For now you understand that God is going to bring you through. God is going to give you the victory to overcome. You're not going to be overcome by the enemy, but you're going to be an overcomer. For God is with you. For God is by your side. For God is going to help you to conquer. God is going to strengthen you. You are an overcomer, child of God. What we're going to do right now as we close, we're going to pray prayers to recover all. We're going to pray prayers to regain, to recover what we lost. Hallelujah. The devil, remember, the devil has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But our God doesn't steal from us. Instead, he restores and sets us back on our feet. Glory be to God. Today is the day, this year, this season, you're going to recover all in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to pray these prayers today. I'm going to pray 10 scriptures today. I'm going to declare it. I want you to play these prayers in your room, in your house, as you get this recording, and as you're going to listen to this again. I want you to just begin to play. And I believe that this is the year that you will recover what the enemy has stolen. You're going to recover all. Do you believe it? If you do, say amen. Hallelujah. Let's begin. Let's begin to declare this. Let's declare, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We believe your word that says in Joel 2 verse 25, and I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, the palm worm, my great army which I sent among you. Father, today restore unto us all the lost time, opportunities, the glory, and the years that the cankerworm has eaten. I believe you, and I know you are the one who restores all things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Proverbs 6 verse 31. I command the restoration of my substance. I recover everything I have lost. It shall be recovered to me seven ways. I receive a sevenfold restoration in my life, business, marriage, with my children, and all that concerns me in the mighty name of Jesus. Isaiah 43 and verse 5 and 6. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. All my possessions scattered abroad in the east, the west, the north, and the south. I command that you will pull towards me now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Obadiah 1 verse 17, upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. I have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. I possess my possessions, all my lost possession. I recover, for I have been delivered out of the hands of the adversary in the name of Jesus. Ruth 2 verse 12, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given to thee of the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. O God, you are the God of recompense. Look at the work of your child and reward me for all the years I have lost. I trust you, Lord. Don't let me be put to shame, and don't let my enemies triumph over me. Isaiah 38 and verse 16. O Lord, by these things man live. In all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. I have lost my virtue, effort, wealth, and strength. There's no strength left in me. Restore me, O God, that I may live again in the name of Jesus. 2 Samuel 30 or 1 Samuel 30 verses 18 and 19. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoils nor anything that they had taken to them. For David recovered all. O Lord, that answers prayers, to you I have come. I bind every spirit that has stolen from me. I pursue and overtake all the years I've lost. I recover all with nothing missing in the mighty name of Jesus. Psalms 39 and verse 13. Oh, spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. I have no strength and power left within me. Restore unto me vitality and strength to pursue and recover all loss. Job 20 verse 18. That which he labored for all he restored and shall not swallow it down. According to his substance shall the restitution be, and he shall not rejoice. In the name of Jesus, I pray there will be abundant for all the years of my labor. I receive the blessing of my labor in Jesus' mighty name. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. In the name of Jesus, I recover the original strategy of my life and my destiny. I refuse to buy the devil's lies and snare. I am set free from the curse of sin and death. I have an antidote to stealing, killing, and destruction of the evil one. I have life in Jesus Christ. If you have said that prayer and stood in agreement, I believe so it shall be. Recover all, recover all, recover all. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, 2023 shall be the year you shall recover all. 2023 shall be the year of recovery. If you believe this word, meditate upon it until it explodes in your spirit, until it becomes rhema. And I tell you, you will have great testimonies before the 31st of December, 2023. God bless you and thank you for joining us for our New Year's Eve service. Happy New Year. God bless you and your family in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen.